watch a few of my favorite rom-coms with you.
Harry met Sally.
Lena met Katie.
We're your quirky best friends
and your leading ladies. Meet cute or online date. Is love an algorithm, scripted or fate? It's the rom-com effect. We're here to be direct about the love we expect in the movies we dissect. We sometimes have a guest.
Does it pass the Bechdel test?
We're on a movie watching quest.
Because of romance,
we're obsessed. It's a rom-com effect. It rhymes with rom-com effect.
Rom-com!
Love them.
Hello! Welcome back to the rom-com effect.
I'm Lena.
I'm Katie.
And this is our guest, Connor McCabe.
I talk at this point. Hi.
We're so glad you're here with us. Connor is a very talented improviser and writer, and we actually have a meet cute story for the ages.
That, yes, tell us, please.
I mean, honestly, we've probably told everyone we know.
Like, specifically, Katie, the host of the podcast, and your guests do. Not like we found a... We just heard a random meet cute.
This is
interpersonal.
This is a real life meet cute.
This is a rom-com effect exclusive.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Just to be clear, we've never dated. We've only had a meet cute.
But it was like up there. It was pretty excellent.
It was pretty great. Yeah. So like 3 or 4 years ago, we were at a party at a mutual friend's house. And I think we had been introduced at this point.
Yes.
But it was just like a handshake and hellos.
Yeah.
And then I was off chatting. I was actually talking to a guy that I think I liked at that time and ended up going out with a little bit.
No. Wait, you didn't tell me. I didn't know that part.
Yeah. I can't remember if we had already dated at that point and we were just catching up or if I liked him. And anyway.
Oh, you'll have to tell me who after the pod.
I don't name names out here. And then, so I was like chit-chatting with someone and like had my food and my drink. And behind me, I hear the pop of a champagne bottle and the cork just goes, bing, 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 like off of all of the walls and ceiling.
Very cartoonishly bouncing off of everything. And it also, to paint the picture, like, I feel like in that moment, as soon as it popped, the whole room, the whole apartment stopped and all followed it as it happened, right?
Yeah, I feel like that happened. Honestly, time stood still.
Yes, it totally.
Where it landed was in my cup, in my hand.
In your champagne glass, too.
Wow.
So it was like a very small opening because we had mimosas. It was like an afternoon Christmas party.
And you know that they had actual mimosa glasses because they're excellent party hosts.
Yes, shout out to Brendan and Michelle, excellent party hosts. it was incredible. And I think the whole room, I remember the room erupting. I don't know if that happened.
Yeah, no, it did.
It did.
I remember.
Oh my God, seriously?
And I turned around to see who had done this. And you were just standing there with like the champagne in one hand and your other hand out. And you were just like flabbergasted.
It was like, as soon as it happened, I was like, that was one of the most amazing things that's ever happened to me.
It was incredible.
It was so cool.
I did have the thought, we're probably going to get married.
Yeah, you know, hey, you know what? Who's to say what'll happen?
Who's to say? Maybe Connor and I will get married down the line.
This is awkward. I'm like the third wheel.
Guess
Should
what?
I leave?
Lena wasn't even at this party.
But she did deliver the bottle of champagne to the party.
Holy shit.
It was all part of my plan. To fabricate a rom-com story and couple through the podcast.
Oh, that's our rom-com. Instead, I was a plant and it was like fabricated, but we do have a connection.
Oh, yes. My God.
Yes.
Exactly. I'm manipulating what's already there. Okay,
I'm the
guys?
One who doesn't know anything going
yes,
on.
Yes, very
Will
cool.
you forgive me?
Will you forgive me?
Yes, I will.
Oh, yay. That sounds like it ended up great.
Anyway, so obviously, we had to have Connor come on the podcast because this is the greatest meet cute of all time. Mm-hmm. At us.
Yeah.
If you have a better story.
Oh, definitely at us. Ew, at us.
I also love the detail because I've heard this story before where.
oh, I'm sorry.
Well, just that, like, I think like a couple years went by and then you guys saw each other again and immediately remembered that
Connor
was
recognized
met.
Me.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because I had like, before we had met, I had been with our mutual friend Brendan to a show at UCB and you had played and he's like, oh, I'm going to see my friend Katie. And I was already going to see other friends. So I definitely like, and I also have a creepy robot memory. So I remember just about everybody. So that's why.
Me too. I feel like a creeper sometimes, but it's fine.
It's good to be amongst another.
We remember names. Yeah.
But I totally, I think I must have been like, do you remember when this happened?
You did. It was outside UCB Sunset.
Wow.
And we were talking and I like knew who you were at that point in improv context, but I did not make the connection that you were Champagne Guy from Brendan and Michelle's
Champagne Guy.
Champagne Guy is definitely the coolest thing I've ever been known as.
I couldn't believe it when I was like, that was you.
Hilarious.
So here we all are. And today we're gathered here. to discuss beloved 2008 rom-com Forgetting Sarah Marshall, which was Connor's pick.
Yeah.
Connor, when did you first see this movie?
I think I know when I saw it first. I'm pretty sure I didn't see it in theaters. I used to think I did, but I think the movie I saw in theaters was 2009's I Love You Man, also featuring Jason Segel.
Such a good movie.
Pretty good movie.
Still holds up.
And,
yes.
And Paul Rudd in both.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I can't wait to talk about Paul Rudd.
I think Forgetting Sarah Marshall was when they realized that the two of them had chemistry.
Totally.
Yeah, they have,
and it's funny because they flipped it, though.
Yeah, they did. Who's the weirdo?
Yeah.
They can both straight man and be the weirdo.
They definitely can. But I don't think I saw it in theaters. I'm pretty sure I saw it over my freshman year of college. This would have been spring of 2010, so the second semester. Mm-hmm. For some reason, that month of February that year, there were two holidays that lined up on the same weekend. So our school gave us Friday and Monday off. So we had a 4-day weekend.
What a beautiful week.
It was amazing. And so what all me and one of my best friends did was we watched like 13 movies together that weekend.
Movie theater?
No, we stayed in my dorm. I don't think we went and saw a single movie. We watched like 13 movies. One of these for sure was Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that was the first time I saw it. It was also Valentine's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were off doing a couple things, and it's not like we were the only single friends we had, but it was kind of felt like just us because a lot of single people went away on a trip that weekend.
No.
So we were kind of just like little love buddies that weekend.
Little love buddies.
And then I was in his wedding and he's expecting a child now.
Oh
so
my gosh.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure it was then. What about y'all?
So I saw this movie in theaters. It was 2008. I was about to graduate high school. Finals were like a stressful time that year. Mm-hmm. And I went with my friends Maris, who just got married a week ago, and Rebecca, who was also there. And we went and saw it in theaters at the Carmike, which was like the old theater in Fort Collins at that point. And I laughed so hard, so consistently through this whole nearly 2-hour movie that they were embarrassed to be with me. Even though there were like two other groups in the theater at this point.
That's so funny.
I had not laughed that hard in a theater at that point in my entire life. And I think it's only been one-upped by going to see Bridesmaids.
Oh, wow.
Not Masterminds with...
Actually...
with Zach Galifianakis.
Masterminds is up there. This is not a bit...
Did you say that together?
Yeah. We went... I was going through a really dark time, and I was like, I love Zach Galifianakis. I don't care what movie it is. I will laugh my ass off if I go see it. Yeah. And I was like, I want to see this movie. It looks ridiculous. He's got ridiculous hair.
And you wrangled literally like a dozen of us.
I got like 15 people from the middle to go to the movie theater.
High school level.
It felt like that.
It was like a field trip for all of us. And I think partially because it was such a large group of us, our laughs were just like magnified.
And I think the rest of us
falling, like rocking back and forth in our chairs, just like laughing so hard.
That's incredible.
It was a great, great, great time.
It's such a silly, dumb movie.
It's so silly. Yeah.
Watch Mastermind.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
I need to.
Make sure your expectations are low. It'll be that much more enjoyable. I did rewatch it again recently. I still loved it.
It's still funny. I didn't laugh nearly as hard as I did that first time, but I feel like it's hard to recapture
it's
that.
It's so stupid.
So stupid.
So that's me and the audience have homework now. Go watch Masterminds. Yeah. Plural.
It was on Netflix recently.
Zach Galifianakis.
And spelled exactly how it sounds.
And Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig.
Jason Segel, is he in that? Or is this Owen Wilson?
No, it's
Jason Sudeikis.
Yes, Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, that's what I meant to say. I gotta be honest, I have no idea what that was.
I don't even know what that was.
You'll see something else.
Kate McKinnon.
That's what I said.
And Lorsley Norp.
Too close.
Lorsley Jones, not Lorsley Norp.
Lorsley Norp from Fort Park's Work. We got it.
This has become a Dr. Seuss podcast. Well, I gotta see it.
It's great.
Did you love, how'd you feel about this movie when you saw it?
Sarah Marshall? Yeah. I saw it on DVD. I think Home Alone. I was just like, I should see this movie. I really liked it the first time I saw it for reasons we will get into. But, I liked it a lot because it's funny to say this now, but like back then I feel like I hadn't seen a lot of rom-coms with a male lead, like from the male's perspective. And so I was like, oh, this is refreshing. Because I think up until that point, I had been sort of like fed the narrative that like guys don't care about love. Only girls care about that. And so when I saw that, I was like, I do care.
She's got her, for the listener, she's got her hands on her hips.
Yeah.
And one hand on one hip, elbow out. It's pretty great.
The sass level is high.
Yeah, it's real high. So I think I enjoyed that. And I also, I enjoyed how he like kind of subverted things where he was like the miserable, obsessive ex. Uh-huh. And like, I'm just going to say it. The male nudity was refreshing.
Oh,
I've always been annoyed by like how much, because of the way our bodies are designed, women have something at the top that is revealing and considered.
I'm so glad someone's finally saying this.
So like it's
women's eyes are everywhere.
But like by virtue of the fact that women have breasts, it's like it's so much easier for women to be nude in movies. Yeah. Whereas like guys can be topless and it's like nothing. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, that's unfair. Like every time there's nudity in his movie, it's just women. Like I want to see some lower halves of men.
Yes. Let's see some.
In fairness.
Yeah.
Let's tip the scales. Let's correct an oversight here.
We have a long ways to go still.
Yeah. So I appreciated Jason Segel for doing that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jason Segel.
Thank you, Jason Segel.
Thank you for your penis.
I think he would appreciate that.
Absolutely.
If he's showing it on the screen, I think he would appreciate it. Thank you.
Do you guys know the trivia behind him choosing to do that in the movie?
No.
Isn't that what happened to him? He got dumped by Linda Cardellini or Cardinelli?
Cardellini.
Cardellini.
Yeah. Linda Kerdlerner.
Former, former co-stars of Freaks and Geeks.
Yes, that's where they...
Furks and Burks. Kate was going to do this the whole time. She's so committed.
I think their romance started then and they dated for several years. But apparently, when they broke up, she dumped him while he was naked.
Yeah.
Like a similar situation where he's coming out of the shower. And I feel like, that's like the ultimate vulnerable position. You're not only being dumped, but you're dumped naked. Like, as
that's
you
brutal.
Are.
Yeah.
No, nothing to hide, no nothing. And so he decided to preserve that.
It's true. What also struck me about that scene is like how he's not, like, hiding. He's just kind of out. He's very just out there and cool with it, which is part of the comedy and the humor of the scene. And one of my favorite, I don't know if we're talking favorite lines, but one of my favorite lines of the movie is, like, right there. He's like, I know how this goes. If I put on clothes, it's over.
Yes, I wrote that down.
And you. And like that logic is so like that makes it, sense. It's like as soon as I put on clothes, like that's just gonna be the end of the conversation.
It's very vulnerable. It was vulnerable of him to do that.
Yeah, and I loved how his nakedness was bookended.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
In the movie, so like at the end when he gets his happily ever after with Mila Kunis's Rachel. She walks into his dressing room after his vampire rock opera, Dracula rock opera, and he's naked. But instead of being grossed out when she hugs him like Kristen Bell was, she is happy and hugs him naked, which is weirdly sweet.
It is very sweet.
Yeah.
What a precious nude moment.
Yeah, and I don't think I had ever realized before how it kind of like came full circle.
Yeah.
His nudity.
I forgot about that.
So really, I just want to say it paid off on a bigger level than
for
just
you.
Shock. It had an emotional core.
Yeah, great, great, what would you call that? Great writing?
Great writing.
Great structure.
Yeah.
Great just choice.
Yeah.
Motif, a callback.
Great wardrobe.
Yes, or lack thereof.
Yeah, so we can all say that we loved the nudity.
Yeah.
So what was it like watching it now, Connor, as opposed to the first time you watched it?
So confession, which is like, this is at least my third time seeing it, maybe fourth time seeing it in the last like year and a half.
Wow. Okay.
I rewatched this movie like March of 2018 and I like loved it and connected with it way more than I even did before. And I always loved this. This was one of my favorite comedies up there, like recent comedies, especially in those like 2000s era with like, really love Step Brothers. Mm-hmm. Bridesmaids is really good. There's a handful of really excellent movies, but I loved it because I was also like kind of, which is like, I'll share the full story later, but like going through something that was kind of similar, but I was like in the point where I was like super happy and on the come up. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I love this movie. This movie is awesome.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I still feel that way about it. I still love it a lot and it's not perfect, but like it's pretty great.
Yeah. And it is true because it is about a sad thing, but once you can see the comedy in your own life, that's like exactly what this movie is. It's taking it. Feels very autobiographical in a lot of ways.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen this movie a bunch of times over the years, and I think I probably wore it out a little bit.
Sure.
So yeah. I hadn't seen it in probably like 2 years. And I mean, I just had as much fun as ever watching it. Like, I definitely didn't laugh as much as I did the first time. But there were still so many moments where I was like, oh, I forgot about this. Or just like, even if I knew it was coming, it just genuinely made me laugh.
Yeah.
I like have been thinking a lot lately about how low status characters have been fun for me to like play in improv a lot lately. And this whole movie, he is such a low status character, just being like shit on.
Oh, yeah.
And
he gets,
so
he really gets it.
So I enjoyed it from that perspective.
Yeah. As for me, I still enjoyed it, still thought it was funny. I, like, noticed, like, some of the humor was... Well, here's what I want to say about it. It was that, like, I feel like this is the first, like, sex comedy that we've covered.
Yeah.
And it's, like, R-rated.
You're welcome, audience.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Yeah, so I was like, oh, this is less, like, classic romance. You know, so there's a lot more, like, there's sex scenes, there's nudity, there's just, like, crass jokes. Mm-hmm. And some of the crass jokes is like, I didn't mean that.
Sure.
But some of them are funny. I guess it just depends on the joke.
Totally. Some of it is aged, like, great. And some of it is, like, I wouldn't say a lot, and I might just not be thinking of specific examples.
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot that aged when on this rewatch that I was like, ooh. But there were a few moments where I was like, eh.
Yeah.
How did you feel? Did
I think the only scene that like really rubbed me the wrong way, and we'll get it out of the way now so we can talk about the fun stuff. I think the there's this one scene where Peter and his friendship with Bill Hader's character, who's his stepbrother, He like Skypes him all the time.
Yes.
And then his wife is in the background, which is very funny, like when you're trying to have a Skype conversation with your friend and then like maybe their spouse is there too and you're like, uh-huh. I thought this was a private conversation.
Yes.
Which that is funny, but like there was one scene where like she like pops her head in and they're talking and she doesn't realize where she is in frame, and then he goes like, wait, actually, go lower. So she goes lower, mm-hmm. and he's like, now go higher. And she goes higher, and back and forth, back and forth. So it looks like she's giving her husband a blowjob.
On the Skype camera.
On the Skype camera. I was like, that's really gross. Like, how would you feel about, like, your good friend having your wife do that in a Skype call? I was just like, that's, like, kind of gross.
I don't know if this is terrible, but I still thought
you
that.
You thought so funny. I don't know. I think it would piss me off, but...
I think I was okay with it because of Bill Hader's reaction to it.
Yes.
He's like, I know what you're doing. Yeah. That's gross, man. Cut it out. And then he didn't want to embarrass her by, like, telling her.
Yeah.
They didn't have to spell it out.
I love how it's so... What? So I don't think it's as funny as I used to, but I actually still don't have a huge issue with it.
Uh-huh.
But... The funniest part of that for me is when he's, like, trying to explain it to... He's, like, doesn't want to tell her what's happening or explain it in such graphic... He doesn't want to just say, oh, it looks like you're giving me a blowjob.
Yeah.
What he says is, when he asked her about the pearl necklace, he's like, well, it's as if I were to, like, sperm on you, which is such a weird way to say it.
God.
It's terrible.
He's
I missed that line.
Yeah, but she... Because he doesn't say...
Wait, what? It. That was not
totally
in the version.
Are you watching the unrated version?
Oh, yeah.
Because I noticed on Amazon. I watched this on Amazon.
They don't see sperm on that one?
There's a choice between the unrated and the rated version. I chose to watch the rated version. So they must have cut that part out.
That's so
you're on your best
crazy.
Behavior. Yes.
Because the way it was in my version was Jason Segel, Peter, just goes... Oh, that's a nice necklace, Liz.
Yeah.
Was that there a second ago?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Bill Hader's just like, oh, man.
Yeah. I thought it was just funny how Bill Hader couldn't even explain it. He was so awkward.
Yeah. He was just, like, horrified by it.
Yeah.
Wow,
the one
versions.
Scene, I thought you were going to say this, was when she was, like, doing the luau and Bill Hader was doing, like, a Native American.
Oh, I hated
chant,
that, too.
And
Ellen
was, like, not.
I did not like that.
At all.
Yeah, like, I was sort of, like... I think lots of movies are a victim of this, where it's like, if it takes place in Hawaii, it's like all white people in Hawaii
mm-hmm.
having a blast, and then like the Native Hawaiian people are not really like, they're just peripheral characters.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie was like, all the main characters are not Hawaiian.
Yeah.
But I do at least feel like they did a good job about having him bond with the hotel staff, and
mm-hmm.
like all of them are like... Native Hawaiians,
yeah,
and they're like funny and have lives that seem three-dimensional despite the fact that they're not leads of the movie.
Yeah, they were featured somewhat.
Yes.
I had a similar thought
could
today
be better,
too,
but
absolutely. Yeah. Yes. His relationship with the staff and all the guys there is I do like that part. It is really funny.
And it starts because they all take pity on him because he's such a sad sack loser, just crying out into the balcony, just scream crying, and everyone at the hotel can hear him.
Yeah. So if you're wondering what all this scream crying is about, we'll give you a quick recap. So a quick recap, Forgetting Sarah Marshall is about Peter Bretter.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a composer for like a CSI type show called Crime Scene, Scene of the Crime.
And all of the parody scenes of that were so hilarious.
They're so good. And it stars his girlfriend, I almost said Veronica Mars. Sarah Marshall, played by Kristen Bell, aka Veronica Mars. And he gets dumped in brutal fashion after... like, kind of showing that he's, like, a slacker when she's not around.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets dumped while naked by her in just, like, a way that all of us hope to never have happened
mm-hmm.
to us.
Oh, you guys haven't experienced that?
I'm
waiting for it.
Listen, I walk around in the nude waiting to be dumped.
Yeah, if my girlfriend's listening to this, I do that a lot. So if you're looking for an opportunity... I will be naked in my apartment.
So when he has a hard time, like, getting out of his depression and one-night stands aren't seeming to do the trick, he decides to go to this resort in Hawaii that Sarah was always raving about. Lo and behold, she is there with her new beau, played by Russell Brand, and he is, like, this rock and roll notorious Lothario who is just, like, dumb as a rock but has a heart and also is addicted to sex.
Did you just say her new beau?
Yeah.
Her new beau, Aldous Snow.
Her new beau, Aldous Snow.
Oh, man, that wasn't even in the pronouncing words thing. That's great. Her new boo.
Her new boo, Aldous Snow.
There we are.
So she is horrified to see him. He's horrified to see her. He was like, maybe I should leave, but then the cool chick at the reception desk, Rachel, played by Mila Kunis, sees what's going on when Sarah and Peter and Aldous meet in the lobby, and she is like, the best suite in the whole hotel is yours for the next 4 days. He basically just has to clean up after himself.
She pulls some strings.
She does.
Throws him a solid.
Yeah.
Just throw him a solid.
Throws him a solid. Yeah. That is not the phrase.
That cute girl really threw me a solid.
So he's like, okay, I guess I'm gonna stay. And he kind of befriends a few of the other guests. Jack McBrayer and his new wife are like a couple struggling in the bedroom.
They're like a conservative, like, Christian couple who waited till marriage and are trying to figure it out on their honeymoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's pretty hilarious.
Yeah. Peter also befriends Kunu.
Oh, a sweet boy.
Sweet boy.
The original sweet boy.
Played by Paul Rudd, who's a surf instructor.
An absolutely flawless performance.
He's just got the memory of a goldfish. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And he befriends some of the other hotel staff who are like taking pity on him because he sounds like a weeping woman because he is so distraught over his broken relationship. And he also gets a nemesis in Jonah Hill, who is just like Aldous Snow's number one fan.
Yeah.
And because Aldous and Peter are like kind of in competition with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill like hates Peter.
He's just like a host at the dinner place at the hotel they're staying at the restaurant. Dinner place. Jeez.
His intensity is so funny. Like,
yes.
How he's just trying to like impress all this in every second.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about
his demo.
Yeah.
We'll get more into it. So basically you just have some of the like fun and games of like Peter balancing like run-ins with Sarah and Aldous along with healing a little bit and like building his relationship with Rachel, who he ends up kind of wooing and like hanging out with her on the island in like a local way instead of just like at the hotel. They get into a little bit of like a fight at a beach party with her ex-boyfriend. They go and grab a drink at this bar where he sees at her photo of her flashing her
strange
boobs. it's just like hung up there, but it was used as like the way to win her back.
Yeah, it was
the
device.
Third act. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You learn that Peter is writing a Dracula rock opera, and he gets up to sing at one point, and Rachel loves it.
Yeah,
she's so
she's
weirded
like,
out, but like
she pimps him
so
into karaoke.
Funny. Yeah,
and he just does his song.
Die. I can't.
I love it so much.
It's amazing. At some point in the second act, scene of the crime is canceled, and Sarah is pretty upset about it because she has kind of had like a false start on her movie career, so she doesn't really have anything else going on.
Yeah.
And this leads to a good talk between her and Peter, where they're like able to have sort of a frank discussion about this
and why their relationship failed.
Yes. Oh, we also have Bill Hader as the best friend that we've talked about, who's like peppered in through Skype conversations. And we also have the amazing use of flashbacks to Peter and Sarah's relationship.
Yeah.
Usually in sort of like quick montages, like flashes of memory, which I think is super cool because it sort of is how you remember things sometimes, where it just kind of like takes you over.
And there were great, like real natural moments in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was a cool use of flashbacks. Flashbacks in this, and there's kind of a turning point where Peter and Rachel hike to this point and she jumps off the cliff and Peter needs to jump with her, but he freaks out and bails at the last second and he's just hanging off the cliff. But in the end he jumps and he's kind of like realizing that he needs to like take a leap in life.
And then they make out in the ocean.
Ooh. Make out in the ocean.
Good little ocean make out.
A little smoocheroony.
Oh, smoocheroony.
Yeah. Peter and Sarah get in a fight where he's kind of like blamed her for everything up until this point.
Yeah.
And she gets to say her piece about how he stopped taking care of himself. Mm-hmm. And she tried for like a full year before they broke up and he just didn't realize it. And then we have a great scene of the two couples, Aldous and Sarah, and Peter and Rachel. I'd say this is a great scene.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's completely unnecessary.
Like, but having competing sex, it's very, it's an R-rated sex movie.
Because he gets moved into the only remaining hotel room, which is
right next to
Yeah, he has to leave the suite because Dakota Fanning is going to stay there.
Yeah.
Which is a perfect person to like just throw in your script.
Yeah. So funny.
Wonder if she, it's got to be so weird to be a celebrity and be like, just go into a movie and be like, yeah, I heard this movie's really funny, and not be in it, and then to have your name just thrown around. It's like, wait, I didn't expect to have to deal with that
today.
I
feel attacked.
Yeah.
I don't just go to Hawaii and party.
I go there and I work.
Yeah. So then after this, Aldous breaks up with Sarah. So Sarah's kind of at her low point. Peter is at his high point. We get sort of like a King of Campus montage where he's like best friends with everybody.
Yeah.
He's like actually having a good time around the hotel. And then he meets Sarah in her room and she's like sad because Aldous just broke up with her and she says she's not over Peter and is crying, and they like hook up for like a second before he realizes that he does not want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And neither does his penis. He feels really bad about this, and so he goes to tell Rachel immediately. She dumps him because she has self-respect. And so to win her back, Peter goes to the bar to take down the photo and gets beat up by the bar owner, but he gives it to Rachel, and her like friends at the hotel are like, what are you doing? Like, go get him back. So,
and that's like his last peace offering before he has to leave.
He goes back to LA.
Yeah.
She tells him not to call, not to write.
Real dramatic. Really cuts him off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's upset about it because she liked him. It feels very over, but he does send her an invitation to the debut of his rock opera, and she comes. And then they ride off into the sunset. Later, she's looking at schools in LA to get over her reasons of why she was kind of running away and stuck on Hawaii. Yeah. And there's a whole thing with puppets at the end, so who doesn't love that?
So yeah.
It really is incredible, though.
It's truly amazing.
I would watch it.
Also, when I was watching that last night, I was like, wait a second. How much time went by since he left Hawaii and put up this musical? Because it has to at least be a year with that kind of production level. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they lead you to believe it's like 3-4 months, but you're right. That's like a year's worth of work.
Puppets
take a long time to make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then rehearsing and all the blocking and the...
It's so funny to me that he does put up this hugely professional, magnificent production, but for some reason, Bill Hader is doing some of the puppet work.
Yeah, he's like, why is he there? Okay.
That's one of those things where I'm like, this is a movie.
Yeah. So that should get everyone up to speed on what this movie is if you haven't seen it.
So one of the bigger things I wanted to talk about with this movie is just the portrayal of the two female characters in the movie, because they're really the only two women in this movie other than Jack McBrayer's wife. whose name I don't know, and that's my fault. I should have written it down.
It's okay. It's on the tip of my tongue. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, but they're really the only two speaking female characters in the movie, and I do think they are both complex in time throughout the movie, but they do both kind of fall into like sort of tropey, stereotypical characters in a movie about a man who's been jilted by his ex-girlfriend mm-hmm. and is finding new love, where Sarah is kind of portrayed as the bitchy ex who's like all about herself, and then Rachel's sort of the chill, like the cool girl who lifts him up and saves him from his misery. Mm-hmm. I feel like the movie sort of teeters between that and then having more complexity. And I will say, I don't think this movie passes the Bechdel test. Because I was thinking about it, there's only really one scene with the two of them talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And in that scene, it's Sarah confronting Rachel about her relationship. Her burgeoning relationship
which
with
doesn't,
Peter.
So it doesn't count.
So it doesn't
can't
pass.
Because
to pass the Bechdel test, they can't be talking about boys. They can't be talking about something else in their lives.
I don't think I passed the Bechdel test if this is a movie I chose.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm canceled.
No.
Right? That's how this works.
You heard it here. Connor McCabe's canceled.
Canceled himself.
Oh, no. Listen, this is about growth. Now you know.
Thank you.
You can take steps forward. They do tell each other how pretty they think each other is. So it's like, does that count?
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. It's still in the realm of
almost passive aggressive.
It is.
So, that's like my one, like, I wish... You know, it would have been nice if the movie could have passed the Bechdel test and if there could have been one or two women in the movie. But, you know.
I have the name for you.
Thank you.
Maria Thayer. And not that this changes anything, but also Bill Hader's wife is played by Liz Kukowski.
Yes.
Who is a writer and a comedian.
She's
very funny.
Yeah, she's in it too. I forgot that.
That's okay. But that's the only other one.
Yeah. But
an easy way for it to have passed the Bechdel test is if they had replaced Billy Baldwin or Jason Bateman with a female
television
lead.
Oh,
well.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
For the remake.
Yeah. Dang. But back to like Sarah and Rachel. Sarah seems like the bitchy ex for a long time. And you're obviously watching this in Peter's point of view, so mm-hmm. you're rooting for him versus her. But, like, they are able to give her complexity, especially in that scene with her and Peter, where they have a heart-to-heart about the end of their relationship.
It starts there, where she gets a little complexity.
Yeah.
But I think it really comes through when they actually get in a fight.
Yeah.
Because he finds out that she had been sleeping with Aldous Snow for a full year while they were still together.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's really upset about this, so he goes to confront her, and they have a huge blow-up about it. And she's saying, like, yeah, I did, but you had stopped taking care of yourself, and I tried. Because mm-hmm. he's basically saying, you didn't even try to, like, make this work. And she was like, I went to therapy. I talked to people. I, like, tried to get you to take care of yourself, but you wouldn't even try anymore.
Listen or notice. You were just like fully in your head and just mm-hmm. consumed with inertia, it sounds like.
Yeah.
He was just like not getting out of bed. I mean, the movie opens with him while he's still in his relationship with her. He's just home alone eating Fruit Loops out of a mixing bowl.
Watching Access Hollywood.
Yeah.
With Billy Bush.
Yeah. Such a great way to unload exposition.
Yeah.
Yes. Incredible. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's like you get the sense like, yeah, he's gotten way too comfortable mm-hmm. in the relationship. He's not trying anymore. It's like, yeah, she's totally right for feeling unloved and over it.
I don't think I've ever really thought how important that scene is and her telling him all these things are, because I think without it, like, the movie loses a lot of its
mm-hmm.
like quality and its worth
mm-hmm.
sort of, because like then it's just like it feels a little tropey at that point.
It does.
And just bitter.
Yes.
Angry and bitter.
Yeah.
It showed her point of view in the relationship. They were both at fault.
Yeah, humanized.
And that's the truth to every relationship.
Yeah.
It's like most of the time both people are at fault for
mm-hmm.
something.
Totally.
So I appreciate that, like, part of his journey in getting over his relationship was learning that he had areas to improve upon, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm criticizing someone else, I always try to think about what I could be doing differently. I turned into Mr. Rogers right there.
Take that cardigan off.
Sorry. It's super hot, but I gotta wear it.
But yeah, that scene I think adds a lot of depth to their relationship that it maybe didn't have until that point. And yeah. I don't know that I like consciously appreciated it as much as I did this viewing.
Same here.
And then it also pays off even more when you see him getting his act together at the end, and he like is on the treadmill. He's still eating his Fruit Loops out of the mixing bowl, but he's like at least trying in other areas.
Gotta have
and he writes his musical. He like does. He doesn't just, you know, flounder in his job doing music for CSI, the
crime scene, scene of the crime.
That's it.
You know what? And but to be fair, if you're someone who is trying to make big changes, don't change everything at once. You got to keep a couple vices around. So he's got his Fruit Loops still.
Yeah. That's good advice.
You're more likely to fail if you try to start a bunch of good habits at the same time, whereas if you go incrementally,
So
start you're much more likely to succeed. Life hack.
Life hack.
Listeners.
This is your weekly life hack. Is that a segment you guys do? No.
Now it is.
I'm going to pitch so many segments on this show.
Yeah, I love it. No, we have so many things we want to take from other people, like Alex, the Bernard test. It has to be surprisingly gut-wrenching, delightful, and what was the other one? I don't know.
Ridiculous. Which this movie has all elements.
Delightful, ridiculous, and surprisingly gut-wrenching. Yeah, this passes the Bernard test.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Shout out to Alex Bernard. Great guy.
From the Notting Hill episode.
Hey.
Never too late to go back and listen.
Never too late. So he goes ahead and writes his rock opera, which is incredible.
Yeah.
It's like the big finale at the end. Rachel flies in from Hawaii to come see it. It is a majestic, over-the-top production with dozens of puppets.
Oh, yes.
And
it's like a lot of work.
Little theater. I was even thinking, like, this is bigger than the clubhouse.
Yeah. Which is a big theater.
Yeah, for real.
No, it's a big stage. Yeah. And it was a whole deal.
But that is amazing. And I 100% want to see that musical.
Yeah.
I would love it.
I was like, I always was wishing that they would have come out with like a 20 minute supercut of whatever that would have been.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like that was a great launch pad to like get the funding to do it.
Yeah, did you?
Well, did he did the Muppet movie,
he
right?
He did.
After
yes.
I feel like that was sort of how he convinced people like his love of the Muppets is enough to make him be the right person to make the Muppet.
Well, that was that's a couple things. Cool tidbits.
Yeah.
These are your cool tidbits for the episode. I got one. It's one cool thing is that his dream project was to write like and direct a Muppet movie. Mm-hmm. So he got to do a Muppet musical. Obviously,
and I loved
it. I still haven't seen it, but I want to.
I smiled from ear to ear the entire time.
I've got to. And the second is that he originally pitched this Dracula musical to Judd Apatow, and Judd Apatow was like, "This is not your movie. This is like a weird part of your movie."
Very smart.
Which like I would have still want to see this weird thing.
Yeah.
But I good move. I'm happy this
would
movie
would have been a
exists.
Hard sell.
Yeah, for sure.
And it is such a great weird part of a movie. It's so delightful.
Yeah.
Because he does sing one full song in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
And it's really amazing. Shall we talk about some minor characters?
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's so many just like all-stars
in
this movie.
We are flooded with comedic talent at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with...
Let's start with Bill Hader just because we do see him pretty early in the movie.
Yes.
But Bill Hader plays his best friend...
Stepbrother. Because you get this gem of a line where he says they get in a fight.
Because Peter's super depressed at the top of the movie.
Yeah, because he's sad he's been broken up with, and he's mad that like Bill Hader's happily married and like his wife is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bill Hader's yelling at him after like, "Do you really want to have this conversation with me?" And
yeah.
He goes, yes.
Yeah,
and he's because
he criticizes her.
Yes, he criticizes Liz.
He's like, "You don't know what's it's like being with Sarah. It's not like..." Hey, first off, he says dating Liz, which I think is so funny.
They're married.
Yes. And then
he's like, "There's the mother of my unborn child. You are my stepbrother. You're not even blood."
Yeah. "I will end you."
It's so
really
good.
Really puts him in his place.
Yeah. And then they have this great moment where Peter's kind of trying to delete all the photos him and Sarah, but he's not really trying to permanently delete them. Yeah. And what is Bill Hader's character's name? We just keep calling him Bill Hader.
His name is Brian.
Oh, Brian.
Brian Bredder.
Okay, so Brian is like, you're not even doing permanent delete. Mm-hmm. You let me do it. And he like clicks and they're gone. Yeah. And Peter's scream. Yes.
Yeah.
Cuts to Hawaii.
Yeah,
and the cuts were beautiful. Yeah.
Have you guys ever mass deleted a ton of photos of somebody?
No.
I'm
too scared. I keep everything and I
kind of. I think that's cool. Yeah. The only story I have is, like, in junior high, my girlfriend in junior high, we had a ton of photos, and I just, like, deleted them when we broke up. Which now I'm like, oh, there's some cute photos we had.
Yeah.
Also married.
Wow. I mean, there we are. Most people,
love's out there.
If you're like not from LA, most people that are from like junior high school are married now.
Yeah.
But Bill Hader's amazing.
Jack McBrayer playing the character. Guys, I didn't realize this was his name in the movie. Darold.
That's a perfect
name. Why isn't that wrong anymore?
Darold? Oh my god, you guys. And his wife, Maria Thayer, her character's name was Wyoma. Darold in Wyoma.
That's like, Mikey Stevens will do this thing where he's like, come up with like the weirdest names you can think of. And Darold is up there for me.
Yeah. Are you going to use that?
God. Totally.
The two of them were hilarious.
Yeah.
The
super conservative couple.
Yeah, they're struggling in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. Jack McBrayer, Darold, has so many amazing lines. Like, God put our mouths on our heads for a reason. If God were a city planner, he wouldn't have put the jungle gym next to the sewer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So funny.
And I really love the scene where Darold goes up to Aldous and he's like, can you teach me how to have sex?
Yes.
And then they have this like montage of him teaching him like sex positions with a chess piece.
Yeah,
with, like, giant chess pieces.
On the beach.
But I love, like, I feel like a lot of that was ad-libbed because Russell Brand is just so good at just, he's so, like, witty and, what's the word I'm looking for? Articulate, I guess.
You know what?
He has such a special way of phrasing things that, like, you couldn't write. And his ad-libbing is hilarious in this.
Russell Brand, if you're listening, you should sign up for Improv 101 at the UCB Theater. I think you've got a knack for it.
Actually, skip that. Just email Connor to be on TNT.
Well, I'll give you my email
after. Or come to Mock. He'd be great at Mock.
You would be a great Mock guest. Early plugs.
Yeah, early plugs. More on those later. Guys, we've got Paul Rudd.
Yes, we do.
One of his best roles?
Yes.
Can I even say that because it's such a tiny one?
I completely agree. I think Paul Rudd as his island name, Kunu. What's his mainland
Chuck.
Name? Chuck.
and then when Peter asks him, so what does Kunu mean? He's like, it means Chuck. It's a direct translation.
And he just has like a website. He Googles names to see the Hawaiian version of them.
Yeah.
But he gives Peter his own name, which is P-P-O-P.
Yes, P-P-O-P. Hilarious.
Jason Segel's face when he gets that name is amazing.
I love the scene between them when he's before they go out on the water for the first time, when he's just on the board.
Yes.
And he's like, you know, the key is to, like, you know, not do too much, but get up on the board or whatever. And then he just, it's like a really funny improv scene where you know he's just going to tell him he's doing too much.
Yep.
And then he finally, like, lays on the board and he's like, you're not doing enough. Just really funny.
Now pop up, just pop up.
Yeah.
Pop out, but don't do any of it. Yeah. Like, don't think about it. Oh, man.
It's so good.
He also, one of my favorite quotes in the whole movie is from Kunu. Maybe am I skipping ahead to
favorite
quotes? Where Peter comes back the next day and then he starts talking to Kunu and Kunu's like, he doesn't remember him. And he's like, oh, are you the guy who works at Kaiser Permanente?
Yeah. And he doesn't remember him at all.
Yes.
And Peter thought that they were having like a great, like insightful heart to heart conversation.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he doesn't remember him.
Oh.
Who's the guy that works at Kaiser Permanente? I want to know who that guy
is. Some other
guy. I hope it's Darold.
Oh, I hope so too.
Oh man, Darold could work there.
In the same, I also, there's one I don't want to forget, but when he, like, later in the movie, Aldous Snow, they're all surfing or whatever, and Aldous Snow, like, gets like a, something cuts him in the water.
Oh yeah, coral.
Coral cuts his into his leg, and like Peter and Kunu are trying to take care of him, and Peter leaves to go get like someone to really help. Mm-hmm. And Kunu can't stop being so weird to Aldis as he's like bleeding out.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to me when he just says to him, "You sound like you're from London." And it's so funny because Aldis Snow is trying to be so polite, like he's talking to a fan or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm from London," and he's bleeding out.
Yeah,
that was a great scene. Because as much as Peter wants to hate Aldis, he can't.
Kind of great. I mean, like Aldis is probably not a good partner for Sarah at all because obviously he's cheating as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also he has that one line which destroys me every time. Yes. But he goes, "I haven't told you I've got genital herpes because it's not inflamed right now."
Yeah. Like, he's obviously not, like, good romance-wise, but other than that, like, he is a pretty cool guy, and he's, like, fun and smart and, like...
He would be, like, a fun friend to have, but, like, yeah, you don't want him to, like, meet your girlfriend.
Exactly.
Because he, as we've learned in this movie, he doesn't have rules for himself. No, he just does whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Dwayne the bartender because he had some good one-liners in there, and I love that he loved snorkeling so much. Yes. And he's like, "I learned 300 names for fish," and like the day that Pete and Rachel go hiking, he like stops them in the lobby. He's like, "You guys going snorkeling with me?" And they're like, "No, we want to go hiking." He's like, "Why doesn't anyone ever want to go snorkeling with me?"
Yeah.
The sea turtles mating right now.
Yeah.
The sea turtles are mating.
It's so funny. That was one person I was wondering. I was like, why haven't I... Have I just missed stuff that he's been in? Or has he not been in much?
Let me see.
Because I thought someone who I for sure imagined auditioned for this role was probably Craig Robinson.
Right.
They have such a similar haircut and build. Yeah. This guy was really great.
He was so good.
He hasn't been in much since.
Maybe he was like a local Hawaii guy.
Maybe he was. Maybe. Dang, but he was awesome.
He was super funny.
Any other side characters?
Jonah Hill.
Oh yeah, let's get into Jonah.
Jonah Hill, who I think, along with Paul Rudd, like bats 1,000 in this movie.
Yeah.
Like everything he says is, he has a handful of my favorite quotes. And just his reaction to Aldis Snow is hilarious. Mm-hmm. He's so obsessed with them.
And there's like a little, there's just like this silent boiling with rage every time Peter is like talking. Mm-hmm. That is really hilarious.
It's incredible. One of my favorite moments with him is when he brings up the complimentary coconut cake to Aldis and Sarah while they're like breaking up. And he cannot read the room.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really,
does
really
he
amazing.
End up pitching his CD at that moment, but then he brings it back later? One of my favorite, I have a handful of favorite moments to share about him, but like one of them is when he like, Peter's not done with his dinner yet. I think it might be when Peter's eating alone and he tries to like take the food away from him. Peter's like, "I'm not done with that." And then Jonah Hill's just like, "Well, I guess I'll just go fuck myself."
Yeah. And it's muttered so like under his breath that you could miss it very easily.
Yeah.
Blink your ears and miss it.
Yeah.
So Connor, you were kind of mentioning earlier that this was a great example of the Apatow launching pad, because he kind of like has people that he's worked with before that are supremely talented and then produces while they are given a license to like write and make their own movie. He's done the same thing with like Amy Schumer and
Seth Rogen.
He got the full Apatow treatment. He was in an Apatow directed movie too. Yeah, Funny People.
Yeah.
So he got a lot.
Yeah, and like it was basically anyone from Freaks and Geeks.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's kind of like taken under their wing and been like, "You want to write something? Show me what you have." And then if it was good, he produced it.
Yeah. And I think this is one of my favorite examples of that too. Was just like, and I'm not the first person to think about this or say anything, but like, I don't know if we've seen a ton more from Siegel since then, but
other than the Muppet movies.
Yeah. And he did 10 years of How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like
that took up a lot of time.
He actually like took a break for a while.
Okay.
To like get out of the limelight.
Yeah.
Like I think
he is developing something pretty big right now.
Whoa. Okay.
It's like an anthology show.
I was going to say, I think he's coming back, but I know he took a step back.
And I think he's, like, writing and directing it.
Oh, cool. I feel like he really showcased his ability in this movie, not only, like, writing it, but acting. And, like, the musical part was so funny. And we got to see him do more of that with the Muppet movie, but I don't know. It's someone that I would like to see. I think Apatow made a great pick here in endorsing Siegel for doing this movie, but... I hope he keeps doing stuff. I mean, and it's nice to hear it looks like he is.
He's someone that I definitely feel like I've missed seeing, like, in movies.
Yeah, totally.
And I watched some of How I Met Your Mother, but I also feel like it's not his voice specifically.
Totally. So. He does a great job, but I would agree with you.
Here we go.
Ooh.
Okay, so Jason Siegel is creating and starring and, like, writing an anthology show for AMC called Dispatches from Elsewhere.
That sounds cool.
It follows a group of ordinary people who stumble onto a puzzle hiding just behind the veil of everyday life. They'll come to find that the mystery winds far deeper than they ever imagined. Could be sci-fi. Could be drama.
Oh, I thought that was part of the quote. That was you adding on to it.
I added the
That's Lena speculating.
I picked up my monocle and said, could be sci-fi, could be drama.
Who's to say?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah,
that does sound cool. And one thing we were sort of like, you know, floated around a little earlier was, well, at least one thing that I really appreciate about a lot of the movies that, you know, Apatow ends up being involved in, whether it's producing or writing, and I feel like this one does a great example of this, is it's so, like, the comedy and the drama is so sincere. And it just really feels real and grounded in most ways. There's times where it's like, that's a little, like a little a bit of a show. But for the most part, that's something I really appreciate about the movies that he is like, or like the stuff that he's helped produce.
It's coming from an honest place.
Yeah.
Which is true heartbreak and how you move past it.
It is hard. And sometimes you feel like you can't escape like people when you're trying to escape people.
Yeah. Especially with social media now. You may not be at the same resort as them, but you can look at pictures like you are.
Yeah, for real.
True. Yeah. This movie definitely does a great job of finding the humor in heartbreak. And that's something we can all relate to.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That brings us to our favorite question.
Ooh, yes.
Pew, 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 pew. Connor, do you have a story you'd like to share with us of, like, a rom-com trope from your own life, a meet-cute, anything of how rom-coms have affected you?
To answer your question, yes, I do want to share a rom-com story. And two, I'm realizing I'm getting two of these stories in one pod because you got to tell our meet-cute story.
I know.
And I get another one. I feel like I'm getting special treatment. Thank you.
I won't rest until everyone knows our meet-cute.
Good. And you shouldn't because it's an amazing story. So this is not from two... This is at least over a year ago now, so I don't feel weird saying it. And there's nothing weird to share, but I did have a pretty silly rom-com time. It's funny that we're talking about this movie because I kind of went through, this movie kind of happened to me like a year and a half ago, which is really strange.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. And it kind of happened twice over. Like I kind of like, I fell in love with someone, got really heartbroken once I was fine. And I actually, like I got better. Like I got my way out of it. I took care of myself. Like it was hard, but I was fine. And then I met someone who was kind of like the Mila Kunis figure. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this person's great. We had a really great time together, but they ended up breaking up with me.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of back at square one again, And this person I couldn't escape like Sarah Marshall. I saw them everywhere. And granted, we are a part of the improv community in Los Angeles, the UCB improv community. That's just part of life here if you decide to date in the communities. And this is someone who, at least at the time, was, like, pretty involved. So we were very cordial and polite, but, like, that sucked for me.
Yeah.
And so I was so excited when DCM rolled around because I was like, cool, you know what, I was going to Philadelphia after that. I was like, okay, cool, I'm be gone for a week. I'm not doing so well. And this is like 3 months later, maybe 2 months later. So I was like, I feel like I should be doing better.
2 months is very short.
Yeah, which I learned, but yeah. I wasn't prepared for at the time. Yeah,
at the time you're like, in 2 weeks I'll be fine.
Yes, and I wasn't. And I had thought I was fine at one point and then realized I wasn't, so went through that. But then I was so pumped, and I, lo and behold, like literally the night before I'm going to fly to New York and be gone for 7 days, this person and I end up talking to each other, and I find out, which is not crazy considering we were going for an improv festival, but I didn't think they were going, and they were. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, I was like, geez. And it kind of felt like forgetting Sarah Marshall. I was like, can I just please be away? And then like, as soon I ran into that person a million times in New York, I was really depressed and sad about it. Like, oh, no. I was having like the simultaneously the best and worst week of my life at the same time because I was so happy. But
and
I was
you're also sleeping like zero,
drunk most of the time, stoned most of the time. So I was having fun, but it was just not good emotionally. Yeah. And like, I see this person on the last night, and they're really kind of like, I'm like finally ready to say hi to them, just be like a little more polite. I was polite, but like I definitely had ignored them the night before.
Yeah.
And I was ready to do that, and then they ignored me, so I was depressed. And I go to Philadelphia, and I'm so sad. I'm staying with like one of my best friends from college. And the way that rom-coms work, I meet someone in Philadelphia, and his girlfriend's best friend, we totally hit it off. We have a really great 4th of July.
Yeah.
We make out in the pool. Fun. It's really cool. We walk her dog. Yeah. It was honestly an amazing 4th of July.
Yeah.
But anyway, I flew back the next day after the 4th of July, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be okay. Because it was kind of perfect. It was one of these situations where, like, I, like, had so much fun with what I had in that moment. Mm-hmm. Was like, but I was also able to leave it because this person lives in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And neither of us, we talked about it. We, like, didn't want to do anything long distance.
Yeah,
so we were
like,
this was really cool. Nice to meet you. Too bad we don't live near each other.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
Yeah,
that's such
sometimes
a
that's all you need
nice
to just like get back on your feet.
Yeah,
it was great, and it felt like it did bring me back to life a little bit. That whole trip did,
mm-hmm.
it was pretty great.
Sometimes you just gotta get out of town, whether it's Hawaii or Philadelphia or New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true.
Trick. Yeah,
that was a great story.
Thank you so much
for sharing, and I'm glad you're in a better place.
Hey,
now.
Thank you. This is thankfully over a year ago, so I'm really good.
Connor. Thank you so much for coming on the Rom-Com Effect. It's a treat.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. You guys have an amazing podcast, and I'm so glad I got to be on it.
Aww. You are a part of many amazing things around town. Are there any shows or anything you want to plug?
Yeah. If you're listening and you're on social media, I'd love for you to follow me at Connor_McCabe on Twitter and Instagram. I produce a few improv shows, so if you like improv comedy and you're in the LA area, every Tuesday, 8 p.m., I run a show called Tuesday Night Thunder at the Clubhouse.
TNT.
Lena has played it a million times.
Yeah,
Katie
I'll be there tomorrow.
Lena is playing it tomorrow. Katie's played it a million times. And then I also run a show called with a few people called Mock Improv at Thursdays at 11 at the Clubhouse. Katie's a part of the main cast. You should play sometime.
I really want to.
What about this week? Are you free Thursday at 11?
I don't know.
I tried to get her to come last week.
I can ask you off pod. It's okay.
Yeah,
don't worry about it. No pressure. And then I want to plug a podcast that it's not mine, but I go on pretty regularly. It's totally going to hit the audience of this podcast. It's called Video Games, a Comedy Show.
Jeremy
Schmidt produces this podcast, and it's truly one of the great joys of my life is to go on that podcast and talk about video games, a lot of Nintendo stuff, and make a lot of jokes. So if you liked me on this, listen to me on Video Games, a Comedy Show.
A very multifaceted.
Yes.
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 Yes. A lot of our fans love video games too. Connor was very kind to let me play video games at his house the other day.
Oh, that was so fun.
And was so nice about how bad I am.
We played.
That's usually how it is for me too.
Yeah.
It's like, please just have patience to watch me fall off this cliff over and over.
Because we're talking about Mario Kart, of course.
Yeah.
It's the only game.
For me, it is. Thanks, Connor.
Thanks for coming.
Of course.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Rom-Com Effect, and tune in next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Connor, say some words. I'm just doing a sound check real quick.
Yeah, so this might be a volume that I speak at, which to me sounds normal, but and I don't know how it's being picked up by the mic.
Good.
That's
it's
good?
Pretty good.
Could I be louder? Could I be
quiet? No, you're perfect.
We'll get excited. We'll probably be super
we'll
loud.
We'll blow out the fucking mic. Like, we do it every episode.
I don't know how to
not do that.
Throw our heads back and laugh uproariously.
Yeah. I guess we'll do this.
I love that you listened to Andrew's episode already.
Yes. Yeah, I listened to it today when I ran to the gym because I exercise.
Oh my god. Yeah.
You're that lady.
You're that ladies. I'm also not available.